Are you constantly struggling with how to function in society? Do you need someone to make you laugh on occasion? Are you wanting to share your thoughts and opinions? Well, have I got a show for you. My name is Garrett, host of Garrett Talks to Himself, a segmented, interactive podcast where I do all of these things. Head to anchor.fm/GTTH to subscribe wherever you listen. I'll be waiting.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of My Drunk Movie Theater. I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And it's, since last week, we've kind of calmed down, seems like. Everything seems like it's okay, I think. We'll see. Hopefully. I don't know. Shit happened yesterday, but we're not going to talk about it. We're going to move on from that stuff. I want to have a happy show this week. So, when we last left off, Trisha, you had a story that you didn't get to tell.
I knew you were going to do that, and I was just sitting here going, crap, what was the story I was going to tell?
I'll give you a hint. It involved a miniature version of dumpster diving.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, we have been playing Pinocchio, the Italian arty version.
Yes.
It is dubbed in English. We've reached the point where Wonder Woman has died down, predictably. People are doing their rewatching on streaming. And so now we get people who just want to come see a movie, so they're just watching whatever appeals to them at the moment, which means some of the more random stuff we have. So we've kind of had it's happened several times that people have come out of Pinocchio and been like, that was terrible. Just because I don't think anyone knows what they're getting into when they go see it.
Yeah, they think they're getting a Disney Pinocchio.
So we had this, it was a random weekday. We had this family come in. They were the only ones in there. And maybe 20 minutes into the movie, this woman comes out and she goes, we're in that Pinocchio movie and it's just terrible. Like the words of the mouth don't even match up. And it's just, we don't want to watch it. Can we like switch to Cruise or something? So I was like, yeah, just bring me your tickets. And I knew that's switched out because that's how it works in our system. I need the transaction number off the ticket to switch the seats. To which she replies, I threw them away. Okay. But I need those tickets to switch you out. I can't just send you into another theater. I need your tickets. She's like, but I threw them away. Can someone go dig them out of the trash for me then? Like, I literally paused. I don't remember who was sitting at the bar that I was talking to.
It was me. You know? I seen it.
I just kind of paused for a second. Like, did that just happen? To which I couldn't help but reply, you want one of us to dig through the trash to find your tickets that you threw away? And which she also paused for a second and goes, well, I don't know.
Yeah.
One of us to dig through your trash and other customers' trash to get the tickets you threw away.
Right. Yeah. So you're better than I am because I had looked at her and said, all right, go dig. Have fun. Bring them back. I'll have gloves.
Like, I didn't flat out tell her no, but I feel like I got the point across that ain't happening.
Right.
This ain't my fault. This is your fault. This is why you hold on to tickets.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't.
Which I finally, because she just kept staring at me, finally I went and I pulled up the seating chart for Cruise because I was like, whatever. It's already, we're well into Cruise. No one else is coming for it. Found a row that they could sit in and I just made a mental note find her in that row. I don't think they even ever switched. I think she went back to the movie and stayed there. Which just made me more angry because I'm like, she better not come out and be trying to get a refund or something. Like, A, you don't have the tickets. It's not going to happen. I'm not giving you passes. And B, I gave you an opportunity to switch. You didn't switch. But then our boss went in to clean the theater and his exact words were, their tickets are the only thing they threw away. It took him, there was only five of them, and they were the only ones in the theater. And it took him almost 10 minutes to clean up that theater.
I believe it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's a good thing they didn't switch over to another theater, because they would have just trashed a second one instead.
But I just... Yeah. You expect someone else to dig your tickets out of the trash?
Right.
I don't remember who else was working that day, but their reaction was, I would have been like, oh, you mean you don't have tickets to prove you bought tickets? You can leave the building now.
Yeah. Yeah, that... Yeah, I was sitting there watching this whole exchange, and I just... Like, as soon as the words came out of her mouth that she'd thrown them away, and then, you know, the whole digging them out question came up, I just kind of looked at her, too, like from where I'm sitting, just going, are you fucking serious? Like, no. No.
I mean, I've had people, when I say I need the tickets to switch it, go, so what, do you expect me to dig the tickets out of the trash? And which I'm always just like, I'm sorry, but I cannot switch your seats without the tickets.
Yeah.
That's all I say. I don't tell people to go digging in the trash. Honestly, I want them to just go back to the seats they paid for and just shut up and watch the movie.
Right.
I'm not going to flat out be like, go dig it out. I'm just going to say, if you would like to switch seats or switch theaters, I need the tickets, and leave with that.
Yeah.
But that is the first time anyone has ever asked me to go dig out the tickets.
Right.
Like, hey. I'm sorry that you were too stupid to hold on to them. That's not my fault.
Yeah. Hey, Trisha, you still sound like you're kind of underwater. Can you disconnect your mic and plug it back in and see if that helps?
Is that better?
Well, you're out of the pool, and well, now you got that slight staticky thing, but at least I can hear you a little better now, so hopefully it sounds better for the show.
I'd like to point out it's your mic.
I know. You're not telling me anything I don't know. So, but it's been
a new possession. My computer's not like brand new, but it's only a couple of years old.
Yeah. I just want to point out, though, it has been in your possession for months on end. So.
And it just sits on my desk when it's not hooked up to my laptop.
Hey, I don't know what Sasha's doing when you're not home. So.
I don't see any cat fur on it.
Yeah. Well. Anyway. So you had that, which brings me to this. Don't ever expect your theater staff to go and dig through the trash because you threw something away that you needed. That's on you. Period. Yeah.
Also, like, don't, why are you throwing away your tickets?
Right. Hang on to those. Like, that's your, you know.
That's your proof that you paid. What happens when especially with reserved seating, we get people all the time that will come in and be like, someone's sitting in my seat. So you know what happens if we walk over there and someone has tickets to see that seat and you don't?
Right.
You pull them bye-bye.
Yeah.
Also, like this, you decide you don't like the movie, you want a refund, you want to switch, you need to leave, whatever. That ticket is needed. We don't just pass out money or another ticket to anyone that walks up and says, oh, I don't have my ticket, can I switch? Yeah. That's not how this works.
Right.
That's like going back to the store and be like, I need to return this piece of clothing. It has no tags on it, no receipt, no nothing. It's just a random piece of clothing, and you expect to get all your money back.
Yeah.
In cash. Not happening.
Right.
You have to have proof.
Yeah. Well,
we don't pass out the tickets for fun just because we enjoy printing them off.
Yeah. So you had that. Last night I had my little incident that just irked the shit out of me. So since before the pandemic began, if people would ask for water, you know, to get a water, you know, we'd say, well, do you want a bottle of water or you just want a little cup that you can fill up over at the drink station? Well, yeah, I'll just take a little cup if that's fine. And it's no charge, whatever.
It's just a little 12-ounce cup.
Just a little 12-ounce water cup, courtesy cup, whatever you're going to call it. Used to give those out like courtesy cups. Well, I've transitioned since we've been in the middle of a pandemic, and obviously business has not been great, and we need to make as much money as possible to get us through until we start getting big features back in. I have transitioned to, yes, we have small and large water bottles over in the cooler there by the candy, if you want to grab one of those, and just kind of leave it at that. I've stopped mentioning the courtesy cups. They're still available. You just have to ask for one. So this guy last night, before I can even mention anything, he goes, can I get like a water, or, you know, get like a water or a water cup? And I go, well, yeah. I said, or we've got these, the bigger bottles of water over there. And he goes, well, yeah, but I don't want to pay for it. And I'm just going, really, dude? Like, you're not helping my cause here. Like, we're trying to stay in business and you want free shit. And I get it. We've talked about this before. It's expensive to go, but like, don't sit there and just straight up say, like, I just don't want to pay for it. Like, because at that point, I'm going to sit there and find a way to charge you for a fucking courtesy cup. Like, I'm actively looking. Look out, people. Because, you know, like, it's just fucking rude.
Oh, that extra cheese that normally we don't charge you for? Sorry, yeah. I need 50 cents for that.
Yeah. I think it's actually $1 now.
That probably is.
Yeah. So... yeah, no, if you're asking for extras, the only thing I haven't figured out is the jalapenos yet. If I could charge people for jalapenos out the ass right now, I would. It's getting ridiculous. Had somebody come up one day, they wanted like 6 things of jalapenos for their popcorn, and then came back for seconds. Yeah. Like, that's a trend. I don't know where this came from, and don't get me wrong, I like spicy stuff too, but pepper, jalapenos and popcorn just don't.
Jalapenos are for the nachos. You can have 2.
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. But no. They get as many as we'll give them. And it's like, really? Like, we already had to put a cap on, finally put a cap on popcorn refills. You know, used to be we didn't give a shit. Now it's, yeah, you get one. You get one. Same day. Don't bring that shit back.
Well, that's like most theaters, we have our discount day. I won't name it specifically because that will get us away. But yeah, we have our specific day that's discount for our loyalty members, and they get $5 tickets and they can get a little free box of popcorn. And I usually don't work it. It's usually my day off. But had an odd week that I had to rearrange my usual schedule. And I worked the discount day for the first time in I don't even know how long, honestly. And I would see people come in, and of course they're getting their cheap tickets, and they'd have, you know, as part of the loyalty program, you can earn these $5 off coupons, and they're using them, getting their free popcorn, and then asking for a free cup of water. And so they're sometimes, like, there was one lady that came in, had like 2 tickets, had a $5 coupon. She, I don't remember, she got something, but her total ended up being like $2 in change. And she was sitting there like, oh my gosh, that's just so great. You can't beat that. I'm so excited. And I was just like, can you fuck off right now? We are literally losing money every day that we're open. And you're bragging about only spending $2.
Right.
There's people who come in, get their $5 ticket, use their $5 off coupon, and get their free popcorn and drink and literally spend nothing. And they're all excited. And I'm like, how many of y'all are going home bragging about how you go to the movies every week to support local business, and yeah, in reality you're costing us money.
Right.
You are literally costing us more money than if you would have just stayed home.
Yeah. And I think that's what really chapped my ass, is because the guy asked how business was, and I straight up told him, we are slow, we don't have enough new content, we need vaccines to get rolled out to get people to get out of their homes and go see shit, get back to normal. And then wants to ask for a free cup of water. And then when I suggest the bigger, clean bottle of water, like Aquafina, it's purified. Like, it's...
let's be real. When you get water out of those machines,
you're getting all the extra gunk that comes with it.
It's coming out of the same spout as the pop. And yeah, so it's all gunked up. And I even tell people, I was like, I'm always telling them to run it for a few seconds before they fill the cup. But even still, I don't get water out of there. I get water out of the bar gun.
Yeah.
Because that's much cleaner,
yeah,
than the water that comes out of those machines.
Exactly. So, you know, you, in this instance, you get what you pay for. But yeah, just chat my ass. Did you want to ask how we're doing business-wise? And then knowing,
it's always the people that ask us, because we had a lot of people that come in and are like, how's business? Is business picking up? How's it going? Like, I hope you guys don't under, da-da-da. Those people are always the one that come in at the cheapest time of day. And
yep,
get hardly, buy maybe a small popcorn, and then go about the movie. Like, well, helping you out, thanks. Yep. No, you're not. You know how you can help us out? I don't care what time you come. Buy a ticket, whatever. Get a large popcorn, large drink, even if you don't think you need it.
Yeah.
Get a candy. Spend a little bit extra money than what you would have normally. Yeah. That helps us out.
Exactly.
Not coming here getting, you know, spending $10 and then being like, I'm helping.
Yeah, like I said. And the dude wound up spending like $40, but that was the other kicker. It was in gift certificates. So not really, like, it helped us him buying the gift card or the gift certificates, but didn't help us right then and there, because who knows when he bought those. So not to complain.
Which is odd, because I feel like most of the time when people have gift cards, they buy extra, in my experience.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, I got a gift card, so yeah, I'll get candy this time. Like, it's not coming directly out of my pocket, necessarily.
Well, so
I'll get that bottle of water, I got a gift card.
So these were the e-gift certificates, the ones that get mailed out when you order them online. They're not the actual cards.
Yeah.
Well, so that's adding to my annoyance with this dickhead.
Yeah, because we can't swipe those. We gotta type in the itty-bitty, like, 16-digit number that's on the side.
Right. So we have to zoom in on there. So I have to now handle your phone, which is already gross.
He didn't even print them off. He just showed you his phone.
Right? Right?
I've never seen that. Every time someone's come up with an e-gift card, it's always been printed out.
No. So this dickhead pulls him up on his phone, hands me his phone, so now I've got to fucking handle his phone, which God knows where it's been. Probably taking pictures of his asshole somewhere. Who knows? But anyway, so now I've got to sit there and punch these numbers in, which are already dinky. And then he tells me I don't know which ones actually, you know, have money or how much money they have on them. So I have to do this 5 times to get all of his shit paid for. That's fucking rude. Print your damn certificates off. That's all I'm going to ask.
Yeah, because then you could throw them away when they're empty.
Exactly. Exactly.
Because I do that with all gift cards, whether they're printed out or whether they're actual physical gift cards. As soon as I use one and it's zero, I keep it and I throw it away.
Yeah.
I don't hand it back to the customer.
Well, and it's...
Unless they specifically say, I like to reload those, can I have it back?
Right.
It's extremely rare.
Yeah. Well, then he starts munching on his popcorn right there at the counter. So he's got his mask down and just gnawing on that. I'm just sitting there like... I'm going to start telling people... Don't eat, keep your mask up and don't eat anything till you get to your fucking seat.
Right.
Like,
because people take advantage of that.
They do take advantage.
Mask, I'm eating.
Oh, I'm drinking as I'm walking across the lobby. No, fuck that. Put your mask on. You can wait till you get to your seat. Anyway, but yeah, just chat my ass. I think what really did it too, I have to give you guys just a visual of this dude. From the mask up, so when he had his mask on, dude looked like fucking Patrick Wilson, who's an actor I actually like his work, but he's so good at playing a dick that it was just fitting that this dude looked like Patrick Wilson. And I'm just like, you were just the asshole that I thought you would be. Like, anyway, that's my customer frustration for this week. Like, don't sit there and just expect free shit. If you want a water, buy a bottle of water. Not that we're going to get much off of that markup anyway, but at least you can say, hey, I spent some money and I tried to help the
team. Yeah.
You know, especially when you're already buying, you know, $40 worth of other shit and then, oh, I'll take a free cup of water.
Right.
Like, seriously?
How about you give up, you know, one of those candies and go drink instead?
Yeah.
Did you ever think about that?
That's the thing. He bought, like, one of our cheapest candies last night, too.
Of course he did.
Fuck this guy. Anyway, so we have established that I will work for just about anything, and I can be bribed to work on days off.
I was cracking up.
So,
because I've told people, I tweeted about it, and I've told people about it.
Yes.
But to see it actually happen, this is great.
Yes. So, full disclosure. I was going to be completely off on Sunday. So you're probably listening to this on Friday. Sunday. As you know, we're based in Kansas City, and we are diehard Chiefs fans. And all throughout the playoffs last year, we basically met up at one of our friends' houses and watched the playoff games there. And that is the game plan for this Sunday. So I was not supposed to work this coming Sunday. Wasn't planning on it. But then I get a text message from a coworker, another manager, who is apparently going to be out of town this weekend and coming back. And
Saturday. Yeah, he's going to be out of town. I believe. I think he's leaving Friday.
Yeah.
So he's gone Saturday, and he's supposed to work Sunday. But
he's supposed to work Sunday. So basically, he's coming back Sunday and just needs somebody to cover part of the shift until he can get there. And so he's like, you know, maybe 12 to 3 at the latest, but like hopefully sooner. He goes, if I get there earlier, you go home earlier. I'm sitting there going, okay, what's in it for me? Motherfucker offers me, he says, if you'll do it, I will buy you a bottle of whiskey. Like a bottle
which of whiskey. I have told people when they've been like, I wonder if I can convince Sutton to work. I was like, bribe him with whiskey. Like, what kind of whiskey? It's like, maker. I was like, wait, I always thought, well, bourbon.
Yes.
Sorry.
No. It's not even that. So hold on. It can't just be any old whiskey or any old bourbon. You're not going to get me in the door with a fucking bottle of Old Crow or, you know, fucking ancient age.
Every time I've been like grabbing with whiskey or bourbon, they've been like, well, what do I get them? And I'm the one that's usually like, Maker's is usually a safe, reasonable price bet.
It is. It is. It's right there. It's a good, like, you know, $25 bottle. Except I am also, I like to bargain and I like to negotiate.
And he is asking you to work on a Chiefs playoff Sunday.
He's also
which is not just a normal, hey, take VR as my ship. This is another level.
So I asked for a bottle that is slightly more expensive than the usual Maker's Mark. So I am now enjoying my Maker's 46. Very nice, very smooth, very good. Nom, 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 nom. Anyway, so I'm going to be working for at least a couple hours on Chiefs game day on Sunday. But yeah. Meanwhile,
my dad will be happy I finished off a bottle of rum tonight.
Hey, nice.
The plantation that Ansel bought me.
Gotcha.
For my birthday a couple years ago.
Yeah. So yeah, but it's just proof that I can, I'm not cheap, but I can be bought. I can't. And that's why I can't be a politician either, because I'll be like, you want me to do what? How much? Gimme. No, not really. But
so yeah, so I worked with, I didn't know about this going down at the time, but I
worked. No, because I was going to tell you about it last night.
Yeah, but yesterday I happened to work with this manager and he was talking about it and he was like, he starts talking about how he was going to ask you to cover it. And I'm like, you're going to ask him to cover you on a Chiefs playoff Sunday? And then he goes, and then I offered him Maker's and I was like, oh damn,
it actually happened.
He's like, yeah, he made me get on the more expensive one and I had to go to two different Hy-Vees to find it. I was just dying. I was cracking up, especially when he started talking about when he had trouble finding it. One of the Hy-Vees he went to, I think the first one he went to, didn't have it. All they had was the shooters.
Uh-huh.
So he almost just bought all the shooters they had to give to you. I kind of wish he would have done, because that would have been hilarious.
It really
would. For him to just hand you this bag of little shooters.
Right. And I told him, I said, you know what? I wouldn't have even been mad. I'd have just been adding them up to make sure that they actually hit a full bottle.
A bottle worth.
But I did warn him, because I negotiate. I said, I would like a bottle of Maker's 46, actually. You're going to have to give me a better bottle than you normally would. And I did warn him that if the Chiefs win this Sunday and we have more games to go, the price goes up. So
Each week.
Because by God, if we hit Championship Sunday, I am going for an $80 bottle of Redbreast. So I'm like, you want it. This is how much it costs.
You got to pay me top shelf for that.
Oh. And if it's Super Bowl Sunday? Ooh.
I was like, this same coworker, last year on Super Bowl Sunday, we had limited hours. And I opened, but I was out in time for the Super Bowl. And he ended up being the unfortunate one that had to close. And when he showed up, I'm pretty sure I brought clothes to change into. And I went straight from work to Kyle's house. And he was, the whole time, this coworker is trying to bribe me to stay. Except he was trying to bribe me with money. I think at one point it got as high as he said he would pay me like $1,000 if I'd stay and close for him. And I was just like, no.
Yeah.
No. God, no.
Yeah.
To work, not only work a double, but to completely miss the Chiefs playing in the Super Bowl.
Right.
Hell no.
Yeah, there wasn't a snowball's chance in hell of that happening. yeah. But yeah, I thought that was hilarious, and that's why we tweeted about it yesterday. But I'm just sitting here going,
I couldn't not do it as soon as it happened. I was cracking. Like I said, I've so many people have mentioned in front of me about trying to how they could bribe you to do something. I'm always like, Urban.
Yes.
Grabbing with Makers is the safe place to start. It's reasonably priced. It's one he likes. Yep. Start with Makers and go from there.
Yep.
I've never actually seen it happen until now.
And that's the thing. Like, you could throw it out there and I'd sit there and go, if I'm not in the mood for Makers though, like that's the thing. I'd sit there and go, so you have to hope I'm in the mood for a decent, like just a decent, reasonably priced bottle of whiskey. Otherwise it's not going to work out in your favor. It's like, there's some good and bad to this process. So it depends on how thirsty I am and how bad you want to get out of working. So yeah. Anyway. All right. Well, ready to talk about Dune?
Yeah.
You read three chapters last night?
I did.
Okay. So we got.
I loved how you were like, we can't end on two. There's a cliffhanger, and the third one we read didn't answer that cliffhanger at all.
I know. It's driving me nuts, but I couldn't just stop there. Like, after I read it, I just went, well, fuck, I need to at least see what's going on in the other realm.
And so, honestly, that third one didn't exactly wrap up nicely either.
It really didn't. I almost went.
So you almost made it. You basically just made it worse by being like, three chapters.
Yeah. So, well, here's the nice thing. So I did some looking. Basically, book two, this second section, is about 200 pages total. Okay. We've already put a good sized dent into it. So we'll make it out pretty quick. So. But yeah, so chapters 23, 24, and 25. So 23, we open with kind of where we left off, it seemed. Basically, Paul, yeah. It's a short chapter. Paul is sitting there just trying to figure out what's going to happen next. What are we going to do? What is my game plan? Yeah. Get out here. And what's the first line? Is there a Harkonnen will kill a Harkonnen?
Something like that.
Yeah. And so basically that's what this whole chapter basically is. It's just kind of setting that up. And then, wait, is it that chapter or is it the 25th chapter where they're getting out of the tent?
That's that first one we read.
Okay. So they get out of that tent, and when they get out of the tent, he and Lady Jessica realize that, oh shit, there are ornithopters all over that are just fucking raising.
There's shit going down.
Yeah, just raising everything, and they realize they are being hunted.
Yeah.
That's 23. 24, Thufir Hlot. I finally figured out how to pronounce it right. I'm so proud. So Thufir is now with the Fremen. I think I'm pronouncing that right now. Sorry, we watched some videos last night where we got some clarification on pronunciations, and so I'm trying to work them into the show, so bear with us, because I'm sure those of you that have read the book and have heard us pronounce it are sitting there going, God damn it, that's not how it's said! Sorry, bear with us, we are trying. So, Thufir is with the Fremen, and basically is being witness to what they do with their fallen soldiers and how casual they are about taking people
sucking
out.
Sucking them dry.
Yes.
Well, he's also trying to basically create an alliance with them.
Right.
But is realizing that while they're speaking the same language, they're not really understanding each other.
They're on totally different books.
Super well. And so he's kind of trying to figure that out.
Yeah. So throughout chapter 24, he's trying to negotiate this while his men, the surviving Atreides family, see, there's another one, Atreides soldiers are trying to, or they're tired, they're wounded, they're trying to figure out what's going on, and they are just in awe that these Fremen took out a bunch of Sardaukar soldiers, which apparently are supposed to be like tough shit.
And only lost two men.
Yeah, and only lost two men. After raiding shit. There is one point in this chapter where they wind up capturing a thopter and then using it to suicide bomb a carrier vessel.
Yes.
It's insane. And then it ends on this cliffhanger where the Thufir's aide gets a knife in the neck and then he blacks out. So we don't know. We don't know what happens. So apparently they get attacked.
Not there yet.
Chapter 25 is all about Paul and Jessica. I can't remember where they're at, but they wind up reunited briefly with Duncan Idaho.
Yeah, they're kind of in the desert still trying to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
When Duncan Idaho appears.
Yes.
And with Kynes?
Yes. Dr.
Kynes. Dr. Kynes, the planetologist, the Fremen planetologist, and they basically whisk them away to a Fremen underground facility.
Right.
To what they think is safety.
Right, which winds up coming under attack and basically leaving us with Paul Jessica.
Paul tries his hand at diplomacy for the first time and manages to convince Dr. Kynes to basically team up.
Yes. Which Kynes isn't having at first, but
yeah, he ends up winning him over.
Yeah. So yeah, of course they think it's safe. Well, then all hell breaks loose, and that's kind of where the chapter ends. Duncan Idaho is
the Harkonnens have infiltrated this facility, and Idaho seems to be on the verge of death.
Yes.
At least last looking.
Last we saw him, a door was shutting as he was battling with some other Harkonnen forces. Yeah. So and that's
Dr. Kynes gets Paul and Jessica away in this hidden chamber maze.
Yes.
To a thopter. Tells them to take off and fly into the storm and basically just hide in the storm until they lose the Harkonnens.
Right. So that's what happens. So that's our three chapters. Where
we leave off. So we don't know what's going on with Palad, and Paul and Jessica are flying in a storm somewhere.
Right. So my initial thoughts as I'm reading this are, wow, these chapters are moving a lot faster than book one did.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot that just happens that keeps your interest and keeps you going. To the point that I'm sitting here trying to remember everything that happens. Not that they're very long chapters. It's just
a lot.
It moves fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've been enjoying the Paul and Jessica dynamic and how that's completely shifted. Mm-hmm. Since he's, you know, inhaled the spice and is able
to... Yeah, he's kind of had this mental awakening.
Right. Which is, like I said...
He's realizing that he's basically surpassed her at this point.
Right. And, of course, so you have this... this sense of he is just completely distant from her now and cold towards her because of where he's at mentally and what is going on with the spice and his abilities. And Lady Jessica is obviously kind of reeling, you know, Leto's dead. There's another one. So Leto's dead. Paul is, she still thinks he's the Kwisatz Haderach, and is now trying to reconcile with that.
Yeah.
Also having to reconcile with the fact that he now knows that they are related to the Harkonnens.
Yeah. One thing I'm curious to find out is, that's not super clear at the moment, is does Paul actually believe that he's the Kwisatz Haderach or Muad'Dib, or is he just going, I can use this to my advantage?
That's something,
because his narration now, when you're in his brain, is so cold and calculated that his emotions are so shut down at this moment that it's hard to tell if he truly believes it or if he's just going, I've reached another level. Everyone thinks I'm this. We're going to go with this.
Yeah, I feel like, well, and that's the thing. I feel like in this instance, both things
can
be true.
Or if he's just trying to wrap his head around the idea of it.
Yeah.
And he's not dealing with the emotional impact.
Right.
This,
I think if
this prophesied one.
Yeah. I think at this point, you could safely say that any one of those things could be true. And why at this point, why not all three of them possibly be true? He may be wrapping his head around the idea, but coming to accept it and figuring out how he's going to use it to his advantage. Like,
I just wonder if there will be a moment where his emotions finally return.
Oh, I'm sure there will.
And it's going to be at the worst possible moment, too.
We haven't met his love interest that we know is in the movie. So we've got to get there at some point. And I feel like that's coming pretty quick.
I say one thing I found interesting is through all of this, at the beginning of each chapter, there's been excerpts from what appears to be some sort of book within the universe. It's written by Princess Aurelian, something to that extent.
Irulan,
something like that.
We'll find that one out later.
And in one of the chapters we read, it talked about my father, the, I want to say emperor, but that doesn't seem like the right term. Is it emperor?
I think she does say emperor.
Yeah, this is my father, the emperor. And then I think it's at the last chapter we read. And then in that chapter, Paul brings up the emperor only has daughters, no sons. And Dr. Kynes insinuates from that he's trying to basically convince the emperor that all of the truth of what all has happened and basically try to set himself up with one of the daughters so he can become emperor. And I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
this is how we've been getting all this information and these little pre-chapter stuff.
Yeah, I feel like those are becoming more and more relevant the deeper we get into the story.
Yeah.
So, which is kind of cool. So about these pronunciations, because I feel like we'd be remiss if we just mention it and just keep trying to go on without talking about it. So, like I said, as you know, we have struggled with trying to figure out exactly how to say some of these words in here. I didn't realize exactly how deep Frank Herbert kind of got into the language, so to speak. Yeah. And you can recognize how much of it is based in Arabic.
Some Turkish.
Yeah. But it's really impressive how he has incorporated that into the story without making it seem like any racial stereotypes or anything like that. It's just a fascination with language. And I think it's pretty cool to see it translated.
The book is about a desert planet and desert people. So using, you know, Arabic and Turkish and, you know, kind of Middle Eastern based languages.
Yeah.
It fits. It makes sense.
Well, and to combine that with elements of like medieval, feudal systems and all that, I feel like we're going to get a bit of a Crusades vibe somewhere in here, somewhere soon.
Yeah.
Like that's what it honestly feels like. But yeah, it was kind of fascinating to go through those videos last night and see, one, to actually hear Frank Herbert's pronunciations, which are the ones that are canon, and I'll butcher them all day, but
they are very much kind of anglicized versions of the Arabic roots.
Right. As somebody pointed out, as the narrator of those videos points out in some of the words, Herbert gets pretty close into how it's supposed to be pronounced, or variations of those same words and what they actually mean in, our
uses them in proper context.
Yes.
A lot of times.
Yes. So it's just really impressive. And I think that's a mark of a really good writer who can sit there and, kind of morph one language into something different without bastardizing any of it. Trisha.
Sorry.
Okay. You're good. So, do you have anything else you wanted to add?
Nope.
Nope. All right, so we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. When we come back, we got some movie news this week. Some good, some bad, some making me sit there and go, just say it already. So stick around.
Hello, everybody. How are you doing today? My name is Michael Rocco.
My name is Raf Stitt.
And who are we, Raf?
We are the host of Straight to DVD.
We are a film review Joker memeing podcast. That's who we are.
Hell yeah, that's what we do.
This is who we are. This is what we do. Come listen to us. You can find us on Instagram at Straight2DVDPod. That's the number 2. You can also find us on Apple Music and Spotify. Where else can they find us, Raf?
They can find us wherever they find podcasts, wherever you listen, whether it's, like you said, Apple, Spotify, maybe Google Play.
Twitter?
They can find us on Twitter. Same handle at Straight2DVDPod. Fantastic. You can follow the two of us on Instagram. Michael, what's your handle?
At @Michael_Rocco_
At Raf Stitt, all one word. We hope you come join us for some movie chatter, some banter, hopefully some laughs.
Hopefully.
Yeah. That's about it.
That's it. There's nothing else for us to tell you.
That's all we've got. So we hope to see y'all soon.
Check us out. Goodbye.
All right, welcome back. So, right out the gate. So, So we went through Warner Brothers lineup for 2021, and I listed off some titles and I wasn't quite sure what they were. One of them is The Many Saints of Newark, which is apparently the Sopranos prequel film. Now, I only bring this up because I've never watched The Sopranos. And I'll probably do it this summer when I have nothing else to do, and depending on how quarantine's going and if we have a vaccine and all that. The only reason I bring this up is because the movie is scheduled to come out on March 12th. And of course, it was going to be one of those that they, you know, they do the simultaneous day and date release where it goes to theaters and HBO Max. However, it's moving to September 24th from March 12th. And so I have some questions about why. So we're going to kind of speculate on that real quick. My initial thought is obviously, well, Wonder Woman did better in theaters than it's done on HBO Max, or they're realizing that maybe a theatrical release will be better off. But they're still doing this plan, so that doesn't quite work for the narrative. So the other thought that entered my mind would be the issue that we've had with everything else about this problem. Well, I actually mean the talent that works on the film. Contract negotiations. What do you think, Trisha? Compensation?
Sounds about right to me.
That's what I would guess. So
they can't get a deal together fast enough, so they just push it off so they have more time to negotiate.
See, that's what makes sense to me. But do you find it weird that we have not heard anything numbers-wise as far as subscribers go or views or anything from HBO Max about Wonder Woman 84?
Probably for the same reason Disney didn't want to release information about Mulan. They don't want to admit that they can't make the money streaming that they expected.
So
they just keep their mouth shut.
That's
they don't look bad.
So maybe it's a combination of those things. I guess my biggest question, though, is why the fuck do we need a Sopranos prequel? Maybe it's just because I'm not a fan. I didn't watch the show, so I just have no need for it. Maybe I'll give it a shot and figure it out.
It's been so long since the series ended. It seems kind of odd.
Yeah.
It's the timing more so, because I remember when it was airing, everyone loved it. People talked about it all the time. I get that it was popular, and people do still enjoy it. But it's been so long, you don't hear about it near as much as you used to. So I was like, why are you making this now?
Yeah.
This seems odd.
Yeah, I find it completely weird. Like, not weird that they're making it because, you know, what's old is new again, apparently. And I do have to give them props because they've cast Michael Gandolfini as the young version of his father's famous role as Tony Soprano. So I got to give him props for that, for keeping it in the family. But at the same time,
It's too recent to be nostalgic, but it's too old to be still relevant.
Yeah.
That seems harsh, but
right. Now, granted, it's one of those shows that people still talk about. I will give them that.
Yeah.
Like when you get to talking about great TV shows like the past 20 years, 20, 25 years, I know that one consistently comes up.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. You know, and I almost said the same thing about El Camino, the Breaking Bad sequel movie that came out on Netflix last year. But that one actually did something and provided closure for a character.
That's more recent than Sopranos, isn't it? Breaking Bad is?
Let's see, when did The Sopranos end? Because Breaking Bad ended in, 2014, 2015? Let me see. Sorry, guys. We're researching on the fly. That's how the show works. Have a drink. Talk amongst yourselves. Let's see. It ended in 2007.
Which? Sopranos?
Yeah.
And when did Breaking Bad end?
Breaking Bad ended, this past decade, but let's see. Breaking Bad ended in 2013. So it's been almost 10 years for that. So, but like I said, it's kind of one of those things, you know?
Still, it's at least within the last decade. So it's still fairly recent pop culture wise.
Right.
Versus Sopranos.
But
it's been almost 14 years.
Yeah. Well, and on top of that, it has been 14 years. But on top of that, The Warner Brothers apparently has enough faith in this movie doing well to give it a theatrical release and had planned that before the pandemic started. So I don't know. I'm guessing they think that maybe they've got a big enough market for the film. I don't know. I'll probably check it out just because whatever, after I finish Sopranos, we'll kind of see how that goes. Since I still have an ass ton of other TV shows to watch, WandaVision tomorrow, you know, today when you're listening. But yeah, it's one of those decisions that I'm kind of baffled by. But like I said, I was more curious about the reason for pushing it back than going ahead and releasing it now.
I'm going to guess contract disputes.
Yeah. So contract disputes that have been settled, however, Godzilla versus Kong will have the simultaneous HBO Max and theatrical release. So they struck a deal with Legendary. So it is holding for May 21st. I don't know about you. I still would not want to watch that movie for the first time on my TV.
No.
I just wouldn't. So, no.
That's a theater movie.
Right.
Through and through. I'm not even like a big Godzilla and Kong fan or anything like that. I've enjoyed the movies.
Yeah.
But that's definitely a movie theater.
Right. It's a spectacle film. You want to see it on the big screen, good or bad.
Yeah.
You want to see it at least once on the big screen, preferably the first time. So, but they have said, let's see, this is coming from the Hollywood Reporter. An agreement means that the parties are close to averting a potential legal confrontation over Warner Media's surprise decision to put its entire 2021 slate on its HBO Max streamer on the same date that the films open in theaters. Warner's unprecedented December 3rd announcement caught all talent and filmmakers off guard, and Warner's is now engaged in negotiations with dozens of parties seeking compensation for potential loss of profit participation. I think that right there just answered the Sopranos question.
Well, it wasn't Godzilla versus Kong. Weren't they going to sell it to Netflix for...
Netflix was in the running for about $300 million.
I was going to say $270 million, so yeah. Something like that. Yeah. And then HBO went and sold it out front of them, and so they were like, you're at least going to cough up what we would have gotten.
Yeah.
From them.
That's pretty much what it boils down to. So the two studios are still working on a deal for Dune, which is still scheduled for October. But Denis Villeneuve has said straight up time and time again, he does not want it to go to streaming until after it has done a theatrical release. Honestly, with that one, I am hoping that they at least give theaters a month of exclusivity.
Yeah, at least some sort of window. It doesn't have to be the full traditional window, but
right.
give us some sort of window.
Give us 30 days to have the movie on the big screen, make it an exclusive. By October, you should be, hopefully we'll be back to some semblance of normal. Hopefully LA and New York will be back open. That's the biggest key. But
yeah.
But yeah, no, I think that pretty well settles it, is that they are trying to get their ducks in a row and get contracts negotiated for that particular film. And I would not be surprised if you see some other delays come up along the way. So,
yeah.
Speaking of delays, Sony apparently knows something we don't. They are delaying Morbius back to October. So, going back from March 19th to October 8th, honestly, I feel like that's a better fit for that type of movie. Well, I say that type of movie, but being that kind of horror element,
yeah.
The Venom window, as much as I just like Venom, and I'll probably wind up hating this, even though Michael Keaton has a cameo in it somewhere, as the trailer's ruined, and Matt Smith is in it, I'm sitting here going, yeah, you can go ahead and delay that all you want. Like, I'm just not excited about it. So, but my guess is...
I'm not a Jared Leto fan, so I'm kind of in the same boat.
Yeah.
I'm going to go watch it because I feel like I have to, but I don't really care that much.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. Don't get me wrong, he's a good actor, but he is a shit human being. So, but that's what's going on, is they are going ahead and delaying it back to October 8th. I would assume Sony thinks that this thing is going to continue rolling on into the spring, which I think at this point is kind of fair, as much as I hate to say it. Because if that's getting delayed on March 19th, I guarantee you No Time to Die will be getting delayed from April 2nd to November.
I fully expect No Time to Die to At this point, just waiting for the announcement.
Yeah, it's just not a complete shit show until No Time to Die delays again. So, this whole situation is just kind of wonky. But the only reason I brought that up is just to kind of see what's delaying again.
I think is interesting is everyone's like, no one wants to be the one that drops it and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, we've had a couple of decently sized movies come out and do decently well, and everyone is still scared.
Yeah.
Like, okay, Tenet didn't do as much as it was expected.
Tenet also wasn't a brand name.
Yeah, but that Tenet was never going to be a huge, huge box office number, because I know so many people that are like, it looks interesting, but I realize it's going to be Inception. It's going to be kind of a mind fuck.
Right.
And that's always going to be one that people are like, I'm not interested. But like Wonder Woman, as much as people trash it, it did really well.
Yeah.
Given circumstances.
Yeah.
Like, we've proven that if you release the material, people will come to the movies.
Yes. Yes.
When you keep pushing it off, you're driving the nail into the coffin of movie theaters with each delay a little bit further. And it's going to take, the longer it takes before they release new content, the longer it's going to take us to build back to where we were before.
Right.
Now, I'm not saying that movie theaters are going to die. They're not.
No.
But it's going to be a while before we're in a good place again.
Right. And
the more they delay movies, the worse it gets.
Yes. I just want this damn Bond movie, okay? That's all I want. I'm just selfish.
Which is why I'm fine with short theatrical windows. But at least, like, don't do day and date. Give us 30 days.
Right. So
go ahead and release the movies, and then 30 days later, put it up on streaming.
Yeah. Speaking of Tenet, though, did you see Gordon McAlpin's tweet this week asking about it? If it was confusing as people say, I can't remember the exact wording.
Or if anyone with a more than 4 second attention span could follow it.
Yes, that's actually pretty straightforward. You just don't want to pay attention. To which I had to respond, and I got my like for it. Was Gordon, I love Tenet, and I will tell you, it is exactly one of those things.
That's what I kept saying to people that asked about it. Yeah. They're like, it just seems like it'd be so confusing. Well, if you just pay attention.
Yes.
Now, I could not explain it to you to save my life.
Right.
The science behind it and how it works.
Yeah.
But I understood enough to be able to follow the movie just fine and enjoy it.
Right.
And at that point, what do you really need to understand all the intricacies and how it works, the insides out? No.
Yeah, no. The only thing you need to know is basically there's a machine that turns time backwards. You go through it, you basically wind up walking in reverse. So, or walking through the situation.
Walking through the timeline in reverse.
Once you get that through your thick skull, it's cake. It's a straightforward spy movie. Like I said, that's what I loved about it. The gimmick is so good that it'll fuck you up, but then everything else about it is just standard spy movie.
Yeah.
So that was, as I said on an earlier show, that was my James Bond movie this year, because I haven't gotten the real one yet. So, and I enjoyed it, damn it. So, since we're on the subject of Warner Brothers, we'll jump over to DC real quick. We talked about the Flash movie. It's apparently going into production in April.
They keep saying that's what they've said.
How
many years now?
I'm just telling you what was said, okay? I don't make the rules, all right?
Are we actually getting the movie, and is it actually going to be with Ezra Miller?
I don't care at this point. Just give me the movie. Michael Keaton's involved. Just give me that. So, Ray Fisher will not be the Flash anymore. Or not be the Flash. It will not be Cyborg anymore. I prefer him as the Flash at this point. He has come out and with a long-ass statement, which I haven't even read yet. So let's see. He said, I have received official confirmation that Warner... I'm going to read this whole thing because there's a lot to break down here. For a little background, on Justice League, when Joss Whedon came in, apparently there were quite a few issues with Whedon and the cast. Whedon specifically just being an absolute dick and being unprofessional towards people, which rubbed Ray Fisher the wrong way. And he has since come out and spoken about it.
Which, from what I understand, is typical Joss Whedon behavior, according to other people.
Yes. which
don't know details, but I have seen that. So,
yes. So
take of that what you will. I'm not taking sides in this argument.
Right. So
I don't know enough.
Yeah, I don't either. But apparently Walter Hamada, who is the president of Warner Brothers Pictures, and Jeff Johns, who is heading up DC Films now, you know, we're supposed to get involved and investigate. And according to Fisher, the way he sees it, did nothing to alleviate the situation. So here we go. This is all of Ray Fisher's statement. I have received official confirmation that Warner Brothers Pictures has decided to remove me from the cast of The Flash. I strongly disagree with their decision, but it is one that is unsurprising. Despite the misconception, Cyborg's involvement in The Flash was much larger than a cameo, and while I do mourn the lost opportunity to bring Victor Stone back to the screen, bringing awareness to the actions of Walter Hamada will prove to be a much more important contribution to our world. On December 30th, 2020, I made it clear that I cannot, with a clear conscience, participate in any production associated with the current president of DC Films, Walter Hamada. Okay, so I got that wrong. My mistake. The reasoning behind that declaration was twofold. One, Walter's purposeful attempt to undermine the Justice League investigation in order to protect his friend and former co-president, Jeff Johns. Oh, fuck. Okay. Two, Walter's attempt to protect himself by contributing to the public dissemination of lies and misinformation about myself and the Justice League investigation in Warner Brothers Pictures' September 4th statement to The Wrap. Bear in mind, Walter Hamada interfering with the Justice League investigation is a completely separate issue than the investigation itself. And while Walter's behavior was not a point of focus for the investigation of the Justice League reshoots, his dangerous and enabling actions during the investigation process must be called to account. On July 7th, 2020, during a 57-minute-long phone call with Walter, I made multiple attempts to have him escalate my claims of misconduct against Joss Whedon, Jeff Johns, and John Berg through the proper channels. John Berg was another producer on the film. Rather than escalate the situation when initially asked, Walter disparaged Joss Whedon and John Berg in an attempt to cover for Jeff Johns. When I alerted Walter that Jeff was, in fact, a major contributor to the issues experienced, including blatant racism, Walter tried, but to no avail, to get me to reveal the names of witnesses and other specifics that could be used to forewarn Jeff of the claims being brought against him. Walter even went so far as to sharply dismiss certain claims of mine as untrue because of his work experience and personal relationship with Jeff. Walter indicated that he was briefed on Joss Whedon's problematic behavior well in advance of my speaking out on July 1st, 2020. That briefing likely came from Jeff Johns, with whom Walter served as co-president of DC Films. Regardless of how he was made aware, Walter knew that there was legitimacy to my claims against Joss Whedon, yet he persisted in trying to minimize and dismiss the situation, claiming that it is a producer's job to protect the director and that he was looking to move beyond anything to do with Zack Snyder's Justice League. It wasn't until I argued Walter down that he agreed to escalate my claims as asked, citing it as above his pay grade. Ooh, that's a fun argument. Knowing that he had overstepped and that I had no intention of backing down, Walter made matters worse by making a tastelessly self-aware joke about not wanting me to put him on Twitter about this. Well, here we are. That's where this is coming from, his Twitter. Despite Walter's best efforts, the Justice League investigation was able to expose the racist, coercive, discriminatory, and retaliatory behavior of Jeff Johns during his tenure with WarnerMedia's affiliates. It has also led to the more immediate parting of ways between WarnerMedia and Joss Whedon. While it may be legally and financially safer to quietly phase Jeff Johns out or to let Joss Whedon exit of his own accord, I share neither of those responsibilities. My responsibilities are and have been, one, to try to protect those that were brave enough to lend their voice to the Justice League investigation, and two, to use what little power I possess to ensure that the workplace behavior exhibited during Justice League reshoots and its investigation never happens again. No one in any profession should have to argue with their employer for their claims of abuse, racism, and discrimination to be taken up the proper chain of command. And no one in any position of leadership should attempt to dissuade those wishing to report such claims from doing so. Walter's actions have transformed this narrative from an investigation of onset misconduct in 2017 to the examination of the present-day cover-up culture of Hollywood. His contribution to Warner Brothers Pictures' September 4th statement to The Wrap was false, cowardly, and reckless. I maintain that Walter Hamada is unfit for a position of leadership, and I am willing at any point to submit to a polygraph test to support my claims against him. I don't know how many instances of workplace abuse Walter has attempted to cover in the past, but hopefully the Justice League investigation will be the last. And if the end of my time as Cyborg is the cost for helping to bring awareness and accountability to Walter Hamada's actions, I'll pay it gladly. Onward, gratefully, Ray. Yeah. Like I said, I had read some of the things that were supposedly going on set. And again, I'm trying not to take one side or the other. Ray Fisher is a stage actor first and foremost. That's where he came from. He was not a big name. Cyborg should have been his big break. Mm-hmm. And you know, this should have been like career maker for him. To sit there and throw it all away for what he believes is right. And again, I don't know the situation entirely, but if you that strongly believe that they are in the wrong and nothing's being done about it, and you're willing to throw away this like that opportunity, I have to commend you. Yeah. I don't know many people that would be. Yeah. Like I said, it's something we'd have to look into deeper. But honestly, after reading that, and after reading just a little bit of what's going on, I'm honestly inclined to believe him. Especially with what we know about shit that happens in Hollywood and other situations. I mean, look at the years of abuse that Harvey Weinstein kept under lock and key until last year or the year before. Mm-hmm. Kevin Spacey.
Even just recently, I discovered through Jeremy Jordan posting a video that when they were when the writers of Greatest Showman were trying to get the movie made, they enlisted a bunch of big name Broadway actors to come in and do the demos and also do like a workshop style pitch for investors to get the movie sold, and then proceeded to not hire any of them for the movie.
Yeah.
Like the one I'm most angry about is Jeremy Jordan, because not only did he come in and do this role of sing for the role of Philip, he did basically all the demos. Hugh Jackman has said his own daughters told him that he should lip sync and use Jeremy Jordan's voice because Jeremy Jordan was better.
Yeah.
But then he was told about this role of Philip and how it might be perfect for him. And then they went and cast Zac Efron, which I'm sure a lot of people like, okay, whatever, they wanted a name, but Jeremy Jordan did all of these demos plus sang the role of Philip for this workshop style presentation they did. But he also sang all of P.T. Barnum's part because Hugh Jackman wasn't supposed to sing. He came in and he sang two roles after having a sinus infection and having his voice only being at 50%, single-handedly saved that musical. Yeah. And then they went, thanks. And he also bought his own plane ticket to fly out there and be there. And the studio promptly went, thanks for the help. We're going to go with the big name. Have a nice career. And couldn't even be bothered to mention him to thank him. Yeah. Let alone all the other Broadway actors that lent their time. They probably didn't get paid for their time either.
Right.
That did all the work to get that movie sold. And then they went, okay, have fun. Bye. We're going to go hire some big names. Like, they only care about money and doing what's needed to bring people in. All those times where you're like, why does that actor get work? They're not that good. Because they're a big name.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, most of the higher ups and studios care about money. Yeah. So if someone's a big name but not a great actor, don't care. Hire them. They got a fan base. Bring them in. Oh, that person's difficult to work with and makes a lot of stink on the internet. We can't afford to deal with them. Don't hire them.
Right. Yeah, it's incredibly shitty. Knowing that's how things work, and it's not just Hollywood. Let's be honest; it happens in the real world too. Think of how many people that have gotten promoted, you know, at their company, at their job, to a position they probably have no business being promoted to.
Watched it happen so many times at the theater.
Yeah, and then you know, and then people wonder, well, why are they fucking up so bad? Like, when there were perfectly capable people elsewhere with more experience to go in and take a job. It astounds me that's how it operates, but that's what it is. So like I said, for for Ray Fisher to come out and say all these things and to continue saying, he's been saying them for over a year now.
Ray Fisher has very little to gain and everything to lose by coming out and making a big stink about this. So I'm more inclined to believe him.
So,
because I've heard, not specifics, but I've heard rumors of Joss Whedon being.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and you've heard how people have bitched about his treatment of female characters over the years too. Even though Buffy the Vampire Slayer was huge and empowered women for a generation, like a lot of people are still pissed off with how he handled Black Widow in Age of Ultron. Like,
yeah,
you know, one good Avengers movie and one mediocre one does not a career make. And don't get me wrong, I've loved Serenity and Firefly, and those shows and movies got taken off the air too soon. But same time, something's got to give. So you have to wonder if there's just a pattern to these failures that he keeps chalking up. And failing upward. By the way, did you know he wrote on the first Toy Story movie?
I don't know that.
Yeah, he was a writer on it. Huh. It blew my mind when I was watching it the other day. Anyway.
Interesting.
Yeah, makes you view it in a whole different light now, especially anyway. So, all right. So let's move away from DC. You want to talk about some Marvel shit? Because we got some Marvel shit to talk about. Kevin Feige is all over the place this week. Every time I open up comingsoon.net, there's a new story. Kevin Feige said this. Kevin Feige said that. So we're going to focus on just a couple of them. First and foremost, Kevin Feige says the MCU Phase 4 story isn't affected by pandemic delays. Not shocking. They've been planning this around. Things can be shifted. It may change the order that things get told. Because from what I understand, we should have probably had Doctor Strange 2 next year. Or late this year, and that's obviously that's not happening right away. But with WandaVision and Loki setting it up, it's going to have to come sooner or later. So,
yeah. I feel like they're pushing up the TV shows a bit, because the TV shows were either all done or almost done by the time the pandemic hit. And I'm guessing they were probably going to space the shows out a little bit more around the movie schedule and whatnot.
Right.
So I get the feeling, because we're getting WandaVision, literally, I mean, by the time you all listen to this today.
Yeah.
And we're already getting Falcon and Winter Soldier in March. And Loki.
I think Loki's in May.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You can't tell me they plan on releasing those shows basically back to back to back.
No.
I'm guessing that they're going, okay, we got these shows that are basically in the can, ready to go. Movies are a little more difficult situation.
Right.
Let's give them the shows. I'm guessing they don't tie in quite as immediate to the movie portion of the MCU as they do, as we would have originally thought.
Right.
So I'm guessing that that's why we're getting all three of these shows, basically, like I said, back to back to back.
Yeah.
Is they're like, okay, we can't get the movies up this year. Let's give them the shows.
Right.
Give them something to watch. We'll get to the movies as soon as we can.
Right. And it's not just the pandemic that's delayed things too. I mean, obviously Black Panther was supposed to come out next year, I think, and now it's being pushed back a year because of Chadwick Boseman's death.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. Anyway, so New York Times did an interview with Kevin Feige. So we just keep getting snippets of pieces of news out from that article. But they asked him about the production issues and all that because of COVID-19. And he has said that previous production setbacks and release date changes haven't greatly affected the studio's major plans for Phase 4. And projects were only delayed for a short time. So that's a good thing. So here's the quote from him. If the run we had in 2018 and 2019 had gotten disrupted in this way in the buildup to Endgame, it would have been a bigger headache. With these projects, it worked well. The show's only shifted by a matter of weeks.
So, that makes sense, because the Endgame was the culmination of a phase, and not just a phase, but several phases.
Yeah.
This is the beginning of the next, not just phase, but the next whole chapter of the MCU. So I feel like for the next couple of years, it's going to be a lot of insular storylines that don't really start matching up until we get closer to another kind of big team up Avengers type movie, which is going to be several years out. So I feel like rearranging things a little bit at this stage is probably, again, speculation, not as big of a deal because there's probably not as they don't probably interact with each other as much. Like, I'm sure they're giving us these shows because nothing on these shows probably affects anything in the next couple of movies. Probably going to be a little bit before it really comes into play.
Yeah.
So it's probably a lot of, okay, these are all build up stuff. We need to get you all these stories, but these stories don't necessarily have anything to do with each other. So we can rearrange them as needed.
Yeah.
Here's the ones we have ready. We can give these to you without spoiling anything or without leaving anything out of anything that's coming up. Mm-hmm. So we'll give you what we got. You get everything else when you can, and we'll all meet up again when we get to the next kind of big team up Avengers movie.
Yeah.
But yeah, like you said, if this would have happened in the like 18-19, right before Endgame, they would have had to delay literally everything because you have to have all that in order.
Yeah. My God, can you imagine if we'd seen Infinity War and then 6 months later a pandemic broke out and Endgame got delayed?
That sucks.
You know how pissed this entire planet would have been? Oh, like I thought I was mad about No Time to Die, but the thought of that just gives me the shakes. Like, it's just bad.
Yeah. It's bad enough waiting the year for Endgame. Can you imagine if it got delayed?
Right? So, all right. So, more MCU news. Thanks, Kevin Feige. We got a lot to talk about. Deadpool 3 has confirmed to be part of the MCU and with an R rating. Somewhere, Ryan Reynolds is just
giddy,
giggling like a child.
There's a lot of speculation that this is going to be how they're going to introduce mutants.
I'm not opposed to it. I figure it's either going to be that, or it's going to be through multiverse.
Or some combination.
Or some combination. That would
maybe we'll. Yeah, maybe we'll find out in Deadpool that he's an alternate universe too. The universe we're used to,
right? So here's the
where he shows up and he's like, wait, you don't have mutants in this right. Earth?
Yeah. Now this is from an interview with Collider, but basically he has said it's going to keep that R-rated tone. He goes, it will be a rated R, and we are working on a script right now, and Ryan's overseeing a script right now. Wording of that's kind of confusing. I don't know if that means that they're all working on the same script or they're working on two separate scripts. Either way, work has begun. So
work has begun and Ryan Reynolds is included somehow.
Yes. It will not be filming in 2021. Duh. I expect it to go into production next year. He goes, so it will not be filming this year. Ryan is a very busy, very successful actor. No shit. We've got a number of things we've already announced that we now have to make, but it's exciting for it to have begun. Again, a very different type of character in the MCU, and Ryan is a force of nature, which is just awesome to see him bring that character to life. Honestly,
putting it mildly, force of nature.
All I want is the Deadpool Spider-Man team up that we all have been hoping and praying for.
Right.
That's all I'm asking for. I don't need much else. You can give me Deadpool 3 and I'll be happy with it, but like, give me that. Just one moment.
Just give me Deadpool following poor Peter Parker around and he's just like, is someone gonna stop him, please.
Have you watched any of the Spider-Man series that was on Disney XD? I can't remember what it's called. I think it's Spider-Man, Disney or Marvel's Spider-Man.
No.
So they have several episodes where Deadpool and Spider-Man, I'm using the term team up very loosely, but they team up. And there's one episode where they're talking about Deadpool and how he kills people, but Deadpool won't say, Peter Parker says something about killing. And he goes, but you kill people. And Deadpool like stops him and says, I can't say that on a kid's show. So we're making them unalive. And it is the most PG-13 Deadpool thing I could think of at that point. I'm just going, I want that. I just want that little moment on celluloid. Just give me that.
Yes.
I want to hear the audience cackle to that. Speaking of hearing audience reactions, this is going to be our final piece of news for the week. Which we also have a follow-up on. So despite frequently confirming his retirement from the role after the groundbreaking Avengers Endgame, It appears Chris Evans is ready to wield a shield again as Deadline reports that the 39-year-old star is nearing a deal with Marvel Studios to return to the MCU as Captain America. While he may be returning to the role, sources do state that it's unlikely to be another installment in the titular hero's solo franchise, but rather will be a supporting appearance in a separate Marvel project with an option for a return in the second film. Said path is akin to the one Robert Downey Jr. took with his role as Iron Man, having his solo franchise conclude after its third installment and instead carrying on in the portrayal in The Avengers, Civil War, and Spider-Man Homecoming. Now, we have said that. And that's coming from Deadline. Deadline's usually pretty spot on with their news. Trisha, you has a tweet from the man himself.
Well, so that broke. A bunch of different news sources picked it up. It was going all around Twitter. People were responding. And Chris Evans himself tweeted with no context, but we all know what he was talking about. No link to anything. Just goes, news to me, and a shrugging emoji. To which people immediately were like, yeah, we don't trust you.
Yeah.
Like we know how much. Someone even pointed out Benedict Cumberbatch denying that he had anything to do with the MCU's Comic-Con reveal at the Comic-Con that they revealed that he was Doctor Strange.
Right.
To the point of even saying he was leaving San Diego and coming back at the end of the weekend. And also Tatiana Maslany saying, oh, no, I'm not cast as She-Hulk. That's just... The news sources ran away with that. It just got out of hand. Right. And then finding out she is. So everyone's like, we don't trust you.
Well, and this is coming
like you're contractually obligated to say, I know nothing. Well, we know. You know stuff. Yeah. But I had said, I was like, and I have to give credit to, you were talking about Gordon earlier, another tweet of his where he was like, all these news sources can't seem to just differentiate between Steve Rogers and Captain America. Just because Steve Rogers is coming back doesn't mean Chris Evans is coming back as Cap.
Right.
Remember, at the end of Endgame, he wasn't dead. He was just old.
Looking like Joe Biden.
That's true.
He's president. President so Steve Rogers.
I had two thoughts immediately upon hearing this. Was one, do you really think that Sam and Bucky weren't going to like go visit Steve and get advice and contact him, you know, see, let him know what's going on and get advice and see what get kind of direction,
right?
Or talk to him ever. Do you think they were just gonna be like, all right, well, he's an old man now, he's out of our lives? Two, what have we been talking about for almost a year now? Multiverse.
Yep.
Who's to say that we don't meet Steve Rogers from another multiverse, from another Earth?
Well,
yeah. Just because he's coming back doesn't mean he's picking up the shield again.
Right.
Like everyone seems to think. What do you think he's going to do in the next movie? He's just going to be like, change my mind. Sorry. Give it back, Sam. Come on, guys.
Yeah. And this is on top of earlier this week. I didn't pull it up as a full story, but again, Feige everywhere. Being asked about the rumors or supposed confirmations mm-hmm. of Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield coming back as Spider-Man, and basically just said, yeah, I read all those things too, and it's fun, and some of it's true, and some of it's not, yeah. And it's fun to speculate, and we're all just sitting there going,
we know you, Feige, that's a confirmation.
Just stop teasing us, God damn it, and just give it to us. Just
that's the closest you get to a yes outside of an actual announcement.
Right. Like and sometimes those announcements don't come until you have a trailer, and I'm totally okay right. with it. That's yeah. how we found out Spider-Man was going to be in Civil War. Like,
yeah.
like I'm okay with that. It's just when people ask you, if you just straight up say I'm not at liberty to talk about that, and you can strike that from the interview. Like one, that's a confirmation to me. But no. then you do this playful shit. Like yeah, it's fun to speculate that stuff too.
Because he knows,
not
he like, knows what? That he can toy with us, and we'll just keep showing up for the movies.
True. It's true. And I got to give him credit for that. I still want some more information about his Star Wars movie that he's working on. So,
yeah, I'm sure Chris Evans is coming back. I don't think it's the way people are thinking.
No. I don't think he'll be wielding the shield.
Even as much as he was talking about he's retiring from Cap and whatnot, he has been quoted as saying he would come back for the right storyline.
Yes.
It wouldn't be in a Cap, you know, in a Captain America movie. It wouldn't be in the same role, the same aspect. But he would come back if the story was right.
Right.
And if anyone can write the right story to convince Chris Evans to come back for anything, it's the MCU. It's why he's going to come up with it. So I have no doubt, but I don't think it's going to be quite as big of a deal as people are making it out to be. It's going to be more of a cameo or an alternate universe Steve Rogers or something quick. He's put in his years. He's ready to do other projects. He's not going to commit himself to doing an entire movie again.
Yeah.
I would be the first to eat crow if I'm wrong, but I still think it's going to be appearances as old Steve or alternate universe Steve.
Yeah.
Or flashbacks. I mean, you think we've seen all the flashbacks from Bucky that we're going to get?
Right.
Think about how many times Sebastian Stan did flashbacks before he even came back as Winter Soldier of Steve having memories.
Yeah.
You think Bucky's not going to do the same thing? Well, he's going to have memories. He's going to have things that come up while he's running around with Sam that are the same.
Right. And we've already introduced, we're talking about multiverse, but we've already got time travel involved too. Who's to say we don't wind up back in the 40s at some point with Steve Rogers, with Cap? Yeah. So, well, there's all kinds. The only thing I won't accept, and I don't think Marvel will do it, I'd have to give them props for having the cojones to do it, but I don't think they'll do it, is if they took any semblance of that storyline for comics a few years ago where it was revealed that Steve Rogers was a Hydra agent. Now, granted, they backtracked on that and actually revealed that he was brainwashed, but okay.
It pissed too many people off.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it. They're not going to do it.
No. Like I said, it would
take... I can almost guarantee Chris Evans would not come back for that. He'd be like, no.
No.
Hell no.
No. Yeah. No. Like I said, I don't see them doing it. Like I said, it would take a serious pair of huevos, but I don't think it's going to ever happen. So, anyway... Well, that's going to do it for us this week. I've got pizza to go eat and whiskey to finish off, so I'm going to get off of here. But guys, thanks for listening. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, @drunk_theater. That's the best place to hit us up. You can also send us an email at mydrunkmovietheater@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, support us, and help us pay our bills, be sure to buy some merchandise from us at teespring.com/stores/MDMT. Got t-shirts, all kinds of good shit on there. Go check it out. Buy something. Buy a nice mug and drink liquor out of it, like I will at some point during the next week. So, Trisha, do you have anything else you wanted to add this week?
Nope.
Cool. All right. Well, from all of us over here at My Drunk Movie Theater, I'm Kyle Sutton.
I'm Trisha Campbell.
And be nice to your damn movie staff.